Okay.
Okay, well, welcome everybody. Welcome to our Spiritual Weather Report call for June 2019. And I'm really happy to be with you. This is Brad, and I'm in London right now, London, England, and Leslie is in South Africa. I just finished co-leading a really beautiful, extraordinary sacred site retreat here with my friends Lina Bernson and Catherine Witteman. And I'd actually love to share a little bit about it with you because it was just such a profound adventure. And so I'll talk about that today a little bit. And we also, at the end of the call today, we'll share some news with you about some of the upcoming events we have in the U.S. I'm really excited about getting to see many of you in person. It's been a long time. And so, you know, I think most of you on the call know, there might be a few new people, but if you've been around for a little while, you know that I'm coming to California and Oregon, Colorado, New York, New Mexico, and possibly Nevada, and maybe some other places. So really looking forward to that. And I'll be leaving here. I'll be leaving the UK on Wednesday and arriving in the US. So, you know, very, very excited to be seeing you all again. I spoke to Leslie today on the phone. As I said, Leslie's in South Africa. And if you've been on these calls, you know that the way it works is that I'll do the talking. And Leslie is going to be silent in the background, sending a transmission of Shakti, which is the uplifting, healing energy. And so, you know, we invite you to receive that throughout the call, whether we're talking or whether you're meditating, just be in a yin state and feel that healing energy coming to you that Leslie's sending. Let's see, there's more to share about that, but before I talk about that, I wanted to share a message with you from Leslie. I asked her if she had anything she wanted me to share with you, and she said to tell everybody that she loves you, misses you, she's meditating a lot, working with the Earth's meridians and the pyramids of the world. And she said she's here at the foot of the sacred mountain in South Africa, Modimolle, and everything there is peaceful, quiet, and pleasant, particularly right now. And the last thing she said is, all is well in the world, even if it doesn't look like it. There's no need to worry about anything. Just remember not to buy into any fear or worry, and instead to open your heart and to choose love. So I thought that was just a beautiful message. And I know that Leslie is here with us. She's actually listening to the call in our living room in South Africa, and she's doing her Shakti transmission from the comfort of home there. So even though you won't hear her, you'll feel her. And as you know, if you've been on these calls at all, you know that whether you're with us live today or you're listening to this later, it really doesn't matter, because we're all part of a field and we're all connected. And at that level, time and space really don't exist. The only place time and space exist is in the third dimension. So we really, for the whole event, we invite you to tune in to these other levels of reality, beyond time and space, where we're all connected in the unity and in the heart and in love. So we'll all receive this transmission of light that's coming through during the call, and it's a field that we all participate in and that we all generate together, whether or not you're with us live right now. So you're all welcome, whether you're here live or listening in the future. We're just so happy to have you with us and to have you as part of this field. I have to tell you, here in London, I've been in England for the month of May, and springtime here has just been so beautiful. And I hit the weather perfectly. There hasn't been much rain, and it's been very sunny, and it's just been this idyllic kind of weather. And when the weather is good in England, everybody's happy. So so I've been in this kind of, I don't know, it's sort of surreal, this floating state of joy through the English countryside and in London as well. So I was moved to pick out a poem to read to you today. So before we get started, I'm going to read a poem to you. And forgive me if you've heard it before, but I'll bet if you've heard it before, you'd like to hear it again anyway, because it's so beautiful. And it's by a poet named Mary Oliver, and it's called Peonies. This morning, the green fists of the peonies are getting ready to break my heart as the sun rises, as the sun strokes them with his old buttery fingers. And they open, pools of lace, white and pink, and all day the black ants climb over them, boring their deep and mysterious holes into the curls, craving the sweet sap, taking it away to their dark underground cities. And all day, under the shifty wind, as in a dance to the great wedding, the flowers bend their bright bodies and tip their fragrance into the air and rise their red stems, holding all that dampness and recklessness, gladly and lightly. And there it is again. Beauty, the brave, the exemplary, blazing open. Do you love this world? Do you cherish your humble and silky life? Do you adore the green grass with its terror beneath? Do you also hurry, half-dressed and barefoot, into the garden and softly, and exclaiming of their dearness, fill your arms with the white and pink flowers, with their honeyed heaviness, their lush trembling, their eagerness to be wild and perfect for a moment, before they are nothing forever? I just love that poem. It always takes my breath away when I read that. So I hope you appreciate it. It's springtime in the Northern Hemisphere, and I thought that might be appropriate for today wherever you are. I hope you have beautiful flowers blooming wherever you are. And if you're in South Africa, I know it's, or Brazil, it's becoming wintertime soon. So hope you can enjoy a little spring energy from our side of the world. So why don't we go ahead, let's start our guided meditation to begin with. We'll have a little guided meditation, and then we'll talk about some topics. And I want to share with you a little bit about my adventure here in England. It's been such an exquisitely beautiful experience. I'll share a little of that with you and the spiritual lessons that I took away from it, which have really been so helpful to me, and I hope they're helpful to you. And then we'll also talk about what's happening energetically in the world right now, and maybe what we can all be doing to use it to our advantage for our own ascension and consciousness. And then we'll open up the microphone, and we'll have time for sharing and questions and answers and so forth. And we'll end with a prayer. We'll end with a few pieces of news from Core Light and then a prayer. Okay, my friends, so I invite you to close your eyes and take a few long, deep breaths and relax. And if you happen to be multitasking, which I know many of us have to do, I invite you to actually just pause for the next 15 minutes or so, 10 to 15 minutes, and just give yourself this gift of this quiet time where we all meditate together and welcome in the stillness. Stillness is such a good friend to have right now in our busy, chaotic world, our busy, busy worlds. So please get comfortable wherever you are and just breathe deeply and let go and relax. And breathe in the light, long and deep, down into your belly. And exhale any shadow, any tension you might be feeling. And breathe in the present moment. And breathe out any worries about the past or the future. Breathe in the stillness and the peace. And breathe out anything else that distracts you from this beautiful moment that we're all sharing right now, right here. Continue your breathing and relaxing and letting go. We forget sometimes how important relaxation is. And in fact, some people say enlightenment is really just a very deep relaxation. So really, I invite you now to take your relaxation very seriously, if that's possible, and just let go. And just know, that there's nothing else but right now, this beautiful moment that we're sharing right now, just letting go, being with yourself, giving yourself over to your spiritual path, giving yourself this gift. And the breathing really helps. So I invite you to continue long, slow, deep breathing throughout the meditation. And now let's relax all the muscles of the body and visualize and feel a warm, viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey, relaxing every muscle that it touches. Relaxing your scalp, pouring over your forehead and your eyebrows, and relaxing those areas, relaxing your eyeballs, letting your eyeballs just fall back into their sockets, completely letting go, relaxing your ears and your cheeks and your nose and your mouth and your chin, your jaw, in the back of your head, the back of your tongue. Just feel the back of your tongue letting go and relaxing. If you can relax that area, you relax that whole region of your head and shoulders and neck. So just focus there on the back of the tongue for a moment or two. Really let it go. Feeling a deep, deep release of any tension. And let your shoulders drop, releasing any burdens you might be carrying on your shoulders, your neck, your throat, and all the way down your chest and your arms, upper arms, lower arms, wrists and hands and fingers, deeply, deeply letting go. And your upper back, your lower back, your belly, your entire torso, your abdomen. Feeling that warm liquid pouring all the way down your body, all the way to the pelvis. The front and the back, the psoas muscles that run along the front of your hips and your buttocks and your genitals, deeply, deeply letting go and relaxing. And your upper legs, thighs and hamstrings, and your knees and your lower legs, the shins and the calves, feeling that beautiful warm liquid pouring all the way down your body, all the way to your ankles, all the way down your feet and your toes, the soles of your feet. Deeply, deeply relaxing and letting go. Remembering your long, deep, slow breathing. And now I will be quiet for a few moments while we all scan our bodies from head to toes, just letting all the muscles continue to relax, letting go of tension anywhere there might be muscles still holding some tension. Just breathing light into those places, breathing the tension out, and letting Mother Earth take the tension away from us, which she gladly does. So I'll be quiet now for a moment while you scan your body again from head to toes. So now let's put our attention in the cave of Brahman. And if you're new to Core Light, you might not know where that is, and so I'll talk you through it. And this is a place in the center of the head. It's a magical place, and when you find it, you experience this beautiful altered state where thought stops, and your mind just becomes very quiet and peaceful. And the way you find it is by drawing a line from the third eye, which is between and slightly above the eyebrows, straight back into your head, and then draw a separate line between your two ears, maybe between the tops of your ears. And where those two lines intersect is the center of your head. See if you can feel that place. It's where the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus reside. Just allow yourself to go there and rest right there, right in the center of your head. And you'll feel it when you get there because there's a deep relaxation that happens, and an expansion of your consciousness. It's as though you feel a slightly altered state. You might feel your energy expand beyond your cranium, beyond the skull, beyond the skin. It's a place where we feel our connection to the higher self. Our connection to spirit, to the transcendent realms. And just continue to allow yourself to drop in here and relax into it. And feel when you can drop into that place, you'll feel the other people of the group becoming a one mind. And we're all in this state together. We connect at that level. It's a beautiful, beautiful state. It's a very peaceful, deeply relaxing, luminous state. And I know when I feel it, it's hard to think. It's hard to be anything but still inside and happy. So just allow that. Allow yourself to feel joy. Feel luminosity. Feel the oneness that we all are. And it's okay if you're not able to feel it, that's okay. Just set your intention that that's what you'd like and it will happen eventually. If not today, it'll happen another time. And it's not an efforting, there's no effort involved. It's just a redirecting of your attention, putting your energy in that part of your body. Very soft and relaxing and easy. So as we hang out here, feel the crown chakra opening. It's like a vortex. It's a, like funnel shaped, and it goes up and out. Feel it opening like a thousand petaled lotus on the top of your head, opening up and up and up, petal by petal, unfurling. It's a beautiful, radiant feeling. It's sort of like you're wearing a crown or like you're wearing a hat. Sometimes you feel like you're wearing a sombrero. Big, huge aura around there, like a halo around your head. You can feel it tingling. Sparkly, glittering, glowing. So just allow that and enjoy it. It's so nice to just be in that place of the crown chakra. And again, it's okay if you can't feel it. Just set your intention if that's what you'd like and try to relax. Just go yin, go receptive. Just let go of any tension, and that helps to awaken those parts that you're not feeling them. It will awake the dormant parts of you. This is your subtle body, your energy. And then feel that cave of Brahman inside the center of your head like a miniature radiant sun. Burning brightly, tightly in the center of your head. And let's carry that energy of that miniature sun burning so brightly and beautifully. Let's carry it all the way down the center line of the body, the core, or the Shashimna, as it's called in Sanskrit. Bring that energy all the way down the core of your body, down the spine, right in front of the spine, all the way down the body to the root chakra, which is the perineum. It's the place between the anus and the genital, the base of the spine. So bring that radiant sun down there and feel the warmth. Feel a deep relaxation happening at your root chakra just by putting your attention there. It naturally happens. You don't have to effort at all. Just by putting your attention there, it will open. And then drop your grounding cord down into the earth, down as far as you can go, all the way down to the center of the earth. And commingle your beautiful radiant energy with the energy of the core of the earth. And bring that energy back up into your body through the soles of your feet. Let it come up into you. And feel as you do this, just feel how grounding that is. Feel how you're anchored to the earth in a very tangible, palpable way. and just relax into Mother Earth. Feel the parts of your body that are connected to something, whether it's a chair or the floor or the bed. And just feel those places and feel gravity pulling you down towards the earth. And feel how the earth supports you from beneath. So beautifully she holds us, our Mother Earth cradles us like a little baby. So really just let yourself go, let yourself relax into her arms. Just going totally yin, totally soft, totally receptive, feeling so peaceful, feeling so relaxed and so held and nurtured by our Mother Earth, like a little baby. And while you feel this, I'm just going to say a little prayer and an invocation. We call on Divine Mother Earth and Father Sky. We call on the Self that we all are, Divine Mother, Father God. We call on all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support, all the angels and archangels and ascended masters, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, gods and goddesses. And I invite you now each to silently call in your guides who you know support you in the highest way, whatever lineage masters that you like to call on. Invite them into this call and we invite all of you in to surround us in the highest love and support. Surround us in light. Wrap us up in a cocoon of beautiful healing energy. Fill us up with that beautiful healing divine energy. Hold us in it so that we feel supported, we feel loved and nurtured, and we feel the oneness that we all are, who we truly are. Please guide our call into the highest love and highest wisdom, the highest sharing, so that we all may ascend in consciousness and into love in the highest way. We offer such deep gratitude for this gift, for the opportunity to be here with each other in the present moment, sharing this beautiful light, beautiful love and energy that surrounds us and is within us. And it's who we truly are. With deep, deep gratitude, Aho. And now I invite you to slowly bring your attention back into the room where you're sitting and slowly wiggle your fingers and toes and slowly, when you're ready, begin to open your eyes. And I hope I didn't put you to sleep. I know it's early. I know it's early on the west coast of the U.S., so I hope you're still awake. If we hear snoring, we'll know.
We're here, Brad, and that was
Barbara?
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. I'm glad at least you are still awake, Barbara. That's wonderful.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let's see. You know, I wanted to start today by just sharing a little bit about my retreat here in the UK with you. It was just so beautiful. I really, it's what's up for me right now. So if you'll bear with me, I hope it adds a little bit of joy to your day. We developed such a beautiful bubble of love and joy that grew and grew with every single day. It was a group of about 23 of us. They were all Americans, I believe, and we traveled along the Mary Michael Ley Line here, all the way from Avebury down to Glastonbury and down many sacred sites along the line, all the way down to the southern tip of England in Cornwall. And we stayed in beautiful manor homes. And, you know, we would stay there for a week, and we'd venture out into the countryside, to the sacred sites, to places like Stonehenge and other places you may never have heard of. But it was like staying in Downton Abbey. There were these beautiful homes that they converted into hotels. And so we rented them, and we had beautiful food cooked for us. And so we really felt held in a cocoon of just beauty, you know, and comfort, and it was very easy in that environment to sink into this joyful place. And especially at the sacred sites, it wasn't just about creature comforts at all. You know, that's not what these retreats are about, but sometimes it helps to be in a very comfortable environment in order to feel that relaxation that we need sometimes. So what happened was, as time went on, we were visiting these stone circles and these ancient sites where the ley lines run through, and the masculine and feminine ley lines cross and form a node, which is a very powerful chakra-like energy. And, you know, you can really feel the intensity of the energy of the land. And we started, as we developed our journey and kept going from site to site, we started remembering past lives that we'd had in these places as Druids. There was that whole culture of the Druids, which was during the Neolithic times, and I believe actually before that as well. So, you know, we're talking like 6,000 years ago to maybe 16,000 years ago. And this was an era where the Druids and the people, this culture all over Europe, not just in the UK, but all over what is now Europe, these people felt their connection to the earth. And their worship was of the great Earth Mother and the goddess and the feminine energy. And that culture, that time period was all about fertility and the worshiping the fecundity of the earth and the woman's womb. And it was a time when women held positions of power, especially spiritual power as priestesses. And so there was a real balance between masculine and feminine energy during that time. And you actually could feel it in the earth as well, because the masculine and feminine currents in the earth would cross at these sacred sites. And so when you go there, and if you're sensitive and you meditate in these places and do ceremony there, you can really feel the power, the spiritual power, and the balance of energy there. And I'm sure that that's why those ancient people, the Druids and others across Europe, marked those spots with the stones. So all kinds of amazing energies were happening at these sites, different things at different places. And we would use our dowsing rods to measure the ley lines and measure what was happening. And, it was fascinating. But I think the main thing I wanted to share with you about this was, as we went on this trip, we remembered what it was like to have a deep, deep love of the earth. And this respect and this reverence for Mother Earth. And, you know, like I said, we could feel the balance of masculine and feminine energies in the earth, and then we could feel them inside our bodies. And I believe that what I have felt. I've done these retreats many times, and I know many of you on the call have been with me to some other places where we do this, like in France and in Greece and other sites. What we become aware of is that that ancient culture felt that balance of masculine and feminine energy within the community and in their bodies and in the land, and that was really what the culture was about. And it was about attunement to the earth energies and to each other, to connecting. It was less separation in that time. And so So I know some people on the call may be new, and you may not know what ley lines are, so just bear with me, please. I'm sure many of you know, but ley lines are essentially meridians, like in acupuncture. The meridians that go down the human body, the same is for Mother Earth. She has meridians all around her body, and that's what we call ley lines. And just like an acupuncturist can put a needle in one part of a meridian, you feel that energy activate all along the meridian, all around your body, because the acupuncturist knows where the power point is. That special point will activate the whole meridian. And it's the same with the ley lines. When we go to these sacred sites, those are the places where they are, like the acupuncturist knows where to put the needle, the ancient people knew where to put the stone circles. So when we go there, we do meditation and ceremony and prayer and so forth, and we act like human acupuncture needles, and we awaken that energy in the ley line, and it does help activate the ley line and literally send our loving intentions through the ley line into the earth grid, and it feeds collective consciousness in a magnified way. And I think that's the beauty of going to these sacred sites to do this work, is that it's an opportunity to magnify our love and our positive intentions to help the earth and to help humanity. Because as we all know, it's a challenging time right now, and earth and humanity really need all the help we can get. So I was reminded of a story something that happened to Leslie on one of these trips that I'd like to share with you, and my guess is most of you have never heard this before. We were at one of these, it wasn't a circle, I don't know how to describe it, it was I think they call it a dolmen, with these ancient stone blocks in France, and it was a place where the ley lines were crossing. So it was a power place, and it had been marked by these stones by the ancient people. And we were doing our planetary acupuncture technique, is what it's called, doing our meditation and prayer. And Leslie started speaking. And she said, I'm connecting with some beings who are down in the earth. They're connecting with me, and they're talking to me. And she said, they look to me a little bit like dragons. And she said, they're telling me their names are the Ursula Wren. And it's a word none of us have ever heard before, Ursula Wren. But she said that's what they're calling themselves. And she said they're describing to me an agreement that we all made thousands of years ago at the end of the previous era, the end of what some people call matriarchy. Although it wasn't a time when women dominated men, it was a time when women had power and had equal power to men, the time of greater balance between masculine and feminine. So at the end of that cycle, say 6,000 or so years ago, these Ursulines said to Leslie that we were all part of that culture. We had these past lives there, as druids, as Neolithic peoples across Europe, maybe across the earth, I don't know. But it was a culture that spanned a huge distance. So anyway, I was really guided to tell the story on the call today. When I tuned in and was looking at what to share, I was clearly guided to share the story. So my sense is that if you're on this call, or if you're listening to this call, you're probably part of the soul group that you probably had lifetimes, maybe at least one or maybe many lifetimes as a druid or back in that culture that I'm describing. And what the Ursuline told Leslie was that they essentially are like serpent currents. They're the earth currents. That's why they look like dragons, the dragon energy or the serpent energy. And they literally flow through the earth like Kundalini. Kundalini, of course, represented by the serpent. The Kundalini is the energy that moves through our body and helps us to awaken. So these Ursula Wren said, you know, that's what we are. And at the end of the last era, we all made an agreement together. And we knew that patriarchy had to happen. We knew that there had to be this era of 5,000-6,000 years of what could be called, you know, learning lessons about power, or some would say the abuse of power. And we knew that this needed to happen, and it was going to be taking us down into the shadow. But we knew it had to happen. We knew we had to experience it in order to experience our own awakening and for the collective and for the planet to move into the next dimension, into the heart, into heart-centered consciousness. So they said, we knew how to work with those energies, and we agreed to allow them to be trapped in the earth. And we made an ancient appointment with each other and with them. And the ancient appointment is for right now. And we agreed that we would come back. And some part of us that is subconscious in most of us knows how to unlock that energy that's trapped in the earth. And it's feminine energy. It's literally the feminine energy trapped in the earth, the serpent currents. And I can only tell you, I mean, I know this probably sounds way, way out there for many people, but I hope you'll bear with me. I hope you'll be open to this possibility, because it's been so real for us, and that's why I'm sharing it. I'm thinking that it's going to awaken something in each of you in your subconscious if you're not aware of it already. That we had this ancient appointment for now, and when we go with groups to these sites, many people, especially women, but many people have these experiences that are similar. And it would take me too long to describe all the experiences to you, but I'll give you kind of a synopsis. And the synopsis of many of these women, these people's experiences, is that they leave their bodies and go down into the earth. They all say the same thing. They all say, somehow, I don't know how, but I left my body, I was taken down into the earth, and somehow my body was used to help unlock this trapped feminine energy in the earth. And when it happened, I watched it go out into the earth grid along the ley line, and the feminine energy went out, and it's essentially love. It's essentially loving intentions. And it is intended to help seed the awakening of the feminine energy in the collective consciousness and the feminine energy in the earth. And that's what so many of us are doing right now in one form or another. This is one way to do it, is to go to the sacred sites and help unlock that feminine energy. And I believe when we go to South Africa, when we go to Egypt, when we go to the American Southwest, you know, we've been taking these groups places for 20 or more years, the same thing happens in those places as well. And it's about awakening those seeds of love and feminine empowerment, let's say, in ourselves and in the collective and in the earth body, in the body of the earth herself. So I get so excited when I think about this. I mean, this is, you know, when Leslie was told this, it was confirmation for us of what we knew at a very deep level. You know, obviously, if you've been around CoreLight at all for any period of time, you're aware that so much of Leslie's teachings and CoreLight's teachings are about this. You know, whether you visit sacred sites or not, whether you are conscious of these earth energies or not, or of ley lines or not, it doesn't matter. What we're all doing is meeting our ancient appointment as a soul. And we incarnated at this time, this incredibly exciting time, right now. This is such a pivot moment for humanity, for each of us as individuals, and for the earth. Because we're here to balance masculine and feminine and to awaken that part of us that essentially is love. It's the Kundalini energy, but when it enters the heart, we experience it as love. And so the balancing of masculine and feminine is essential for this awakening of the heart. I've said it before, but just in case you're new, you know, what I'm aware of, and I know what Leslie's been teaching for a long time, is that we can only open the heart to the degree to which we've balanced masculine and feminine within ourselves. And it's a big topic, you know, and I don't have time really to go into it too much today. It's really going to be the topic of most of the events that I'm leading in the U.S. this summer. So if this is new to you and you want to join us, we'll be talking more about this there. But we've been talking about it in CoreLight for many years, so many of you know already. But it's really about finding that in ourselves, finding it in our bodies, clearing any shadow that prevents us from awakening to love. And that includes balancing masculine and feminine. That's where a lot of us hold shadow, is this ancient, what's called this ancient dance. I was going to call it a war, but let's not call it that. Let's call it a dance. And so there's been this ancient dance between masculine and feminine. And right now is this amazing moment where we can really clear all that shadow and open to this beautiful place of love and heart-centered consciousness. So anyway, I could go on, but I think I'm going to wrap it up there. To just also, I want to add one last thing. My friend Lina Burnton, who I co-lead trips with nowadays, she was one of the co-leaders of the trip with me, and she's a channel in Portland, Oregon. And her guide said something that was so beautiful. It's a new mantra that I'm using that they suggested the group use. So I wanted to share it with you because it was so beautiful. It's a mantra that helps us to really embody this state of heart-centeredness and love that we truly are. So it's simple. It's three sentences. I love. I am loved. I am love. So I'll say it again. I love. I am loved. I am love. And so we can use that mantra in meditation or just throughout the day. Just say it to yourself. And it's so beautiful. It's just so uplifting. It really will shift your consciousness very quickly. So if you find yourself in a challenging spot where you've dropped out of your heart or you've forgotten who you truly are, just do that for a little while, even for a minute, and you'll find it perks you back up and puts you back in your heart, and you might find a smile on your face. So anyway, that's a little update from me. It's not really the spiritual weather report, but I just thought I needed to share that with you. The truth is that every spiritual weather report is about love. You know, that's really where we're all headed, no matter what energies are transpiring across the planet. As long as we remember that that's the destination the destination is the heart. That's where we're all headed, you know. And as long as we can live in love, that's all that matters. And if we find that there are things that take us out of that, then we need to look at what's actually happening, what energies are transpiring on the planet to take us out, what's happening in our lives that drop us out of the heart. So I guess I wanted to, before we open up to sharing and questions and so forth, I just wanted to mention kind of what I'm feeling is happening on the planet right now with the energies. And, you know, it feels like we're continuing what we always talk about. We're continuing this path of intensity and acceleration. Those are the two buzzwords, I think, intensity and acceleration, massive change. Big, big change is happening. For most of us, there's major change happening in our lives. If you don't have major change happening in your life, doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. Just enjoy that. Enjoy the little bit of stability. You may be the only one I know that's having that. Most of us are having massive change happening in many areas of life. So something new is coming. With this massive change, we can all feel it, that there's something new, and it's like a quickening. It's this speeding up of information, of life, of change, whatever you want to call it, however you're experiencing it, it's this acceleration and quickening. And what I feel is, you know, it's this movement from the third chakra into the heart, and we have to go through that very tight place called the Knot of Vishnu, or Heaven's Gate, as Leslie called it, which is the equivalent of the diaphragm in the physical body. And it's that tight, rubbery muscle. It's a very challenging place to get through. So really, that's the focus, is moving through that knot that's in the body there. And so much of it is about being open to change. You know, it's looking at all the changes that we're going through and surrendering to those changes and just saying, you know, how am I coping with this? Am I fighting it? Am I resisting it? Am I welcoming it? Am I having a positive outlook about it? Am I complaining about it and feeling victimized about it? Do I see it as a great adventure and trust that this is somehow in my soul's highest purpose and in my dharma? Or do I feel like something's terribly wrong about this picture and life has served me up a bowl of lemons and there's just I'm such a victim in this process, you know, and start throwing the lemons at the people that we blame, you know, or we're feeling hard done by in some way. So I'm sorry if I'm making light of it and it's really hard for you right now. I know that a lot of people are going through a really hard time. You know, a lot of people are having it manifest in the body where we're developing illness of some kind. And sometimes it's very painful. And sometimes our relationships or our work situation is really, really painful. So I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm being flippant. I'm not trying to be flippant. But, you know, I really honor that many of us are going through this dark night of the soul, just as is happening in the collective. You know, there's so many issues up in the collective right now, so many shadow places that I don't even need to name them. You know, you see them happening everywhere. So we won't go into that. You know, the question that we can ask ourselves is, how are we dealing with it? If it's happening in our body, if it's happening in our world somehow, if we hear it in the news and we learn of some terrible situations going on, you know, at the Mexican border, for example, or where there's a natural disaster, or at a war zone, or whatever it is, how are we handling that? How are we looking at it? And how are we coping with it? What are the gifts in that? What are the opportunities for us? How can we grow? How can we ascend in consciousness through this? And, you know, maybe that's what we can talk about on the call today, is I'd like to hear from everybody, you know, how are we dealing with this? Where are the challenges? Where are the gifts? Where's the growth for each of us? And this is a very rich conversation for each of us to have. we just had this conversation on Friday night here in London. We had a little, very small meditation gathering at my friend's flat where I'm staying. It was this beautiful evening. So much light poured in, so much beautiful golden light. Leslie was closely with us, and we talked about this very thing. So I invite you to share with how you're coping with it. The one thing I would say before we open up to whatever you want to talk about, one of the keys that Leslie gave us in the Returning to Oneness book, that Leslie's guides gave us, she channeled this information, the key that unlocks that knot at the diaphragm is forgive all betrayals. Forgiveness. And that's essentially what helps us to get out of victim consciousness. When we feel betrayed and victimized, if we can find a way to forgive, it moves us through that into the heart. And that's not always easy. Sometimes we have to go through all kinds of processes before we can find any form of forgiveness. I mean, how do you really forgive a perpetrator of horrible things when it's so personal or when it seems so real? It's not easy. You can't fake it. Sometimes you have to get angry, and sometimes you have to vent, and sometimes you have to confront and say, this is not okay. But in the end, that's where we're going, all of us. In the end, we're heading towards forgiveness. We're heading towards gratitude for these gifts and opportunities in the challenges. And those are heart states. And ultimately, it's about the love. So I know this is a reminder for so many of you. And I'm so happy that you are with us and allow me to talk about these things that we all need to be reminded about. It's just an absolute delight and pleasure for me to be able to talk about this with you. So many of you have been around for so long and know all of this already. And some of you are new, and we welcome you. So I feel finished. I feel complete with what I wanted to say, Barbara. Would you like to share with everybody how you raise your hand and so forth?
Sure.
And is there anything you'd like to share, Barbara? Anything you'd like to share, Barbara, before we open up?
Yes, I would love to share. You were talking about this, the ley lines, and how Leslie shared the story of the dragon energy within the ley lines, you know, and that we agreed. You know, I think the key word here that I'm hearing for me anyway, that I'm really resonating with, is that we agreed. We agreed to take this journey that... you know, and I guess when I say that, I feel like, so that takes us out of victim consciousness, when we can have that conscious awareness that we actually agreed to do this. And you were sharing about, you know, the ley lines on Mother Earth. And some of you may be aware, I shared too about an experience that I had with Leslie and with many of us who were priestesses during the time of Egypt, and how we agreed to shut our conscious awareness down of the truth of who we were, and that Leslie promised that we would all come back together again to complete that agreement and to open up the ley lines within the body as well. And there was a key that shut down the back of our where our occiput is, you know, which is where the spine and the skull come together. And during the ceremony of our agreement back in the Egyptian times, Leslie took a key and locked the occiput. And she, in a meditation, I don't want to get involved in this too much, there's too much detail, but bottom line of it is that similar to the story that she shared with all of you about the earth ley lines, is the information that I received as well, that we had an agreement and that we were going to all come back together. And the key piece I got as you were taking us through this story, Brad, is of Sleeping Beauty. And the story of Sleeping Beauty, and that the prince ultimately had to come and reawaken her. And there's something here about our inner masculine and feminine, and that most of us, whether we're in a female or a male body, have been run by our inner masculine energy. And it is, the word that I'm getting is, it is a succumbing. Succumbing to the divine feminine and masculine energy within through the love, as you shared, Brad, through the love of the masculine for the feminine. And I think that's the key that is perhaps already reawakening each and every one of us, as we can come into our inner realm. And rather than, you know, you were talking about the word war, rather than fighting all of the polarized states of consciousness within us, to come into this radical acceptance. And it's the masculine that is the active part, and the feminine that's the receptive part, so that the masculine must kiss the feminine part awake, if you will. So I really felt that that was an important piece that we are to come to as we come into this recreation of heaven on earth. So forgive me if it's kind of a little bit lengthy, but I'm hoping that the energetics and the message of how we come back into balance during these times with the physical ley line of Mother Earth and our own inner ley lines, or our kundalini, if you will, and the knot of Vishnu releasing, becoming untied as we walk through Heaven's Gate. So hope that all made sense, Brad.
It does, Barbara. It's a beautiful sharing. I think you pointed out something so important, and you reminded me, I just want to add something to this, and that is that, you know, over these thousands of years that we've been incarnating from these different through these different eras, we've all been both. You know, we've all been men, we've all been women, we've all been the tyrants, we've all been the victims. You know, we've done it all. And I don't know about everybody on this call, but my guess is, if you're listening, that you're part of this. And, you know, at this level of the work, where we're really cleaning up the shadow in a deep way, you know, we have to have been both, because otherwise we would feel so polarized, it wouldn't be possible to do the clearing work. We have to have had that experience of the shadow to know the light. So it also, knowing that, just like knowing that we've been both the men and the women, we've been the dominator and the dominated, you know, it really helps me anyway. I know it helps many of us to feel not as much like a victim, and to move out of that victim consciousness. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, Brad, which ties beautifully into your forgiveness piece.
Yeah.
You know, if we've been at all, if we've done it all, we're forgiving ourselves for all of it.
That's right. Exactly.
And yes, and there's a wonderful poem by Thich Nhat Hanh called Call Me by My True Names. And he says just exactly what you said, Brad, in a beautiful way, that, you know, we've been all of it. We've done it all.
Yeah.
We've been it all. Yeah.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Okay, well, what do you think? Should we open up now?
Yes,
time?
Here we go, Brad. So if you'd like to share, press star 2 to raise your hand, and I can unmute you. So star 2 on your phone, or if you'd like to write, I'll be happy to read whatever on the web. Okay. Looks like we have a hand raised, and I think you said your name was either Linley or Lindsay.
It's Linley.
Linley,
thank
there you,
you
go. Hi, Linley. You have the mic.
Thank you. What a rich sharing, Brad. I just want to touch quickly the points that resonated. First of all, when you were offering the meditation, I got this really lovely phrase that for me just encapsulated the experience of that meditation, and it was a celestial garden. That was just what I felt like, all these flowers, these celestial flowers during the meditation. So I just wanted to send that back to you because it was lovely. The second
thank
thing
you.
I wanted
how beautiful.
To say, wasn't that beautiful? It was, that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of the poem that we read, you know? It's about the beautiful garden.
That's right. The second place that resonated so incredibly, in 2016, I traveled through the sacred sites in England, and we were at Avebury, and just outside of Avebury is this pre-Neolithic mound called Silby Hill, and I was being escorted by some English guides who have an unusual ability to literally tone the energy of the place. They're called the Bards of Avalon. And they were toning the energy of Silbury Hill as we sat in front of it. And the energy, I was impacted in a way that I can hardly speak about even to this moment. It impacted
wow.
me so hard that I started crying uncontrollably, and I'm not somebody who cries easily, but there were wrens in the trees. Interesting that they were wrens in these flowering trees all around that were just singing gloriously, and the energies that they evoked with their toning literally drove me into the trees. I could not stay separate in any way from the earth, and I had to go in and find a hollow in a tree where I could burrow myself into the tree, and I was literally covered with spiders and debris, and it became some kind of witchy creature. So when you talked about the energies that are present calling us back into the sacred feminine and to release these serpent energies, and my guides, B and David, the Bards of Avalon, talked about the dragon energies. So it was like, I just couldn't believe what you were sharing today.
Wow.
And then there's a third piece.
I just need to share one quick thing, and that is that I have a whole story. I could tell you, we were at Silbury Hill, and the West Kennet Longborough, those are all on the ley line. And Leslie and I actually made this journey ourselves many years ago, and Leslie's guides gave us a whole experience around Silbury Hill. So I'll share that with you another time. It would be too long to tell today. But that's a very powerful place.
There was no mental explanation for what it was, so it all had to be divined just from intuition and from feeling, because the explanation for what Silbury Hill is just it was inadequate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The last thing I wanted to share, oh goodness, I can't even thank you enough for this. I have been experiencing body sensations that are unnerving, to say the least. I have a daughter who's navigating the depths of hell, going through a betrayal or betrayals, past life and current, and I won't, but it has pulled on me because I'm not sure that she can even survive it. It's so deep. And what I have been experiencing myself in response to the situation our family is in, there are sensations that first of all started to flutter through my heart, like made me feel like my life force could drop out from under me at any minute, like I could just be dead and gone. And then just yesterday or the day before, I felt it actually drop from the heart into the third chakra. And that same sensation of just being swept away, like just gone, passed through the third chakra. And when you started talking about the Nada Vishnu and that area in between being the diaphragm, and I didn't know anything at all about the Nada Vishnu or that it was connected with the Kundalini, raising the vibratory frequency from the third chakra into the heart. It just put a whole new spin, a whole new way of holding what I've been experiencing, for which I cannot thank you enough.
Wow, wonderful. Wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm so happy you shared that. So thank you, Glenn, for all of that.
Well, thank you, Lindley. Thank you for your sharing. It was beautiful to hear from you.
I look forward to seeing you.
And I'm keeping your daughter and that whole situation in my prayers. And may she be blessed. May you be blessed. And her son and everybody involved.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thank you, Lindley. So I wanted to share very briefly about, anyway, let me remind everybody to press star 2 to raise your hand.
And, you know, I just want to say that we can talk about anything you want to. It doesn't have to be on the topic that I brought up. If you have things to share or questions on another topic, that's fine as well.
Okay, good. We've got a couple of hands raised. So the next hand raised is Pat. Pat, you have the mic.
Okay, thanks, Barbara. Yeah, so many things got touched this morning, Brad, and I want to thank you for the path that you took to talk. I have been going through a lot of, you know, new things, new decisions, new things that have to be moved, and it's like exactly what you're talking about. It's the heart-centeredness necessary, the forgiveness work necessary, and it keeps coming back to the guidance of pray from your heart. Pray from your heart. It doesn't matter what anybody else has ever taught you, what you thought was right, or whatever. The message is always stay with your heart, and you're on the right path. So I'm just really trying to be true to myself, and as I do that, the rest of things that were out of order seem to be falling into order. So I can just say thank you for reaffirming that for me. That really is helpful.
Absolutely, Pat.
And you know how much
I
love
for
what they teach, I've been with it for over 20 years, so it's a part of my heart. I must be in that group you're talking about, though it's not been a big
no
thing in my mind. You know, it just is like that's what I'm drawn to. And so I just want you to know that I'm there or I'm here.
Wonderful.
Or whatever.
Well, I feel you there. I feel you there with us when you share on these calls and from our communications that we've had. I definitely feel you there. And because you've been sticking with this work for 20 years, that says a lot, you know, that you're part of this soul group and that you know that you have this ancient appointment as well, like many of us, and it's an ancient appointment. Whether, like I said, whether it's going to sacred sites and doing energy work or whether it's just doing your own shadow processing, you know, it's all helping our ascension. It's all helping our ascension into the heart.
And, you know, and I've really
personally
been concentrating as well on doing energy work, and specifically that pattern of associating body energy with outside energies, with earth energies. And it's a different way for me to look at things, but it feels like I'm going in the right direction. And yeah, and I certainly support all that you and Leslie have done over the years and are doing. And you know, I love you.
Well, thank you, Pat. I love you too. Thank you so much, Pat. That's very sweet.
And I will continue to be a prayer partner for the people that need it from the line of Coralites that ask for requests.
Wonderful.
Thank you
for being part of that prayer circle. All right. I need to thank you, Pat. And Barbara, I just need to mention one thing. The headset that I'm wearing is it's the kind that has to be charged. It's not a corded headset. And I just heard the noise that tells me it's not gonna work pretty soon. So I'm going to I'm going to switch headsets, and I'm sorry it's going to be an inferior connection, but let's just do the best we can, okay? Tell me if the sound quality is terrible, and I'll try one of the other headsets, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Very good, Brad.
Give me a sec. I'll be right back.
Okay. So while Brad is changing headsets, I wanted to share also that many of us have been going through what Brad referred to earlier as a dark night of the soul, myself included. And what I was shown was, I don't know how many of you have been to Egypt, but there is a temple in Egypt that's called the Temple of Kamumbo. I'm going to mute you for 1 second, Brad, while you change over your headset. And I know you can unmute yourself when you're situated. But what I was shown, Kamumbo is the temple of the alligator or the crocodile, and it is also the healing temple. When you go behind the temple itself, there's a big wall filled with hieroglyphs, and it has all of these medical tools imprinted in the wall like a hieroglyph. So this was definitely a healing temple during Egyptian times. And part of the temple has these underground tunnels where they tested the initiates. And the tunnels were filled with water and had the crocodiles in the water. And as the initiate, you had to start at one end of the tunnels and go through the water that was chest high with all these different tunnels going off of it, and you had to come out at the other end without being eaten by the alligators or the crocodile. And so what I was shown in this dark night of the soul, for me personally, and I'm imagining that for many of you as well, is that there are what Leslie calls demons at the gate. And so there were all of these things that were pulling me off center, if you will, so I would get distracted, but I had to come back and see where the doorway was, and I had to keep reminding myself to ignore any of those demons that were trying to gather my attention. And also, for many of you who may be familiar with this, as we are able to ignore them, say, neti neti tatwa masi, I am not this, I am that. And then as we are able to stay focused and centered and walk through that doorway or that gateway, the demons turn into bodhisattvas. So my sense is that I'm not the only one that's going through this. Many of us are, and that we are to use all of our awareness, all of our tools to stay committed and focused to walking through the doorway and not be distracted or pulled under by the demons at the gate. So it felt like that was a really important piece to share along with all that, you have shared, Brad, and that others have shared on the call this morning.
Thank you, Barbara. So just a quick sound check, Barbara. How's that? Is that okay? Or can you hear me all right?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you, Brad. It's okay. It's not too static or anything, so I think we're good. Okay, so the next person with hand raised is Jan Antonelli. You have the mic.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you very
Jan.
So much for that sharing. And I just have to drop in a piece. I was really intuited to do a three-day fast this week, and I didn't really know what I was preparing for. But there's some interesting things that I've been seeing working with people. So many people are having, like, really serious intestinal colon issues, which, you know, when you think about, like, going into the depths of the earth, I mean, that's the part that's unhidden in our body, right? And I had a client who, she's a teacher. She's been told she clears through her body a lot of collective energy. And I worked on her this week, and she's facing the decision of either doing assisted suicide or having her colon removed. That's how much pain she's in.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got to sit with her, and as I was working with her, I saw this key. We were, like, given this key and saw a part of herself that was so awake and so enlightened, and this part that was so locked away and separated. And we were able to take this key and open the door and retrieve it. And just with everything you shared and everything that's been coming together and what I'm seeing, I'm working with a lot of people now with cancer and facing living or dying issues. That was really profound. I'm going to digest it, but I feel like it's given me another layer and another piece that feels so right. I've been working, painting and cleaning and just shifting the house to anchor in the feminine, more of the feminine, for months now. And so that just brings it together in a whole different way.
Mm. Beautiful. Wow, Jan. I was just going to say that I know a significant amount of people who are dealing with cancer and other, fatal illnesses, potentially fatal illnesses. And I think that's got to be one of the most challenging things anybody can be facing right now, you know, to be in that and to somehow, you know, work with the healing and not feel victimized by it and, you know, to get through it with any kind of grace at all is just really, really challenging. So I really honor you for helping people with that. And, I'm glad to hear it was a little helpful.
You know, she is so awake in so many ways, this woman, and she processes so deeply, and there's no end to the layers. It's almost so astonishing. And in seeing this, I know it wasn't just her. I know there's a bigger collective piece going on. But afterwards, a lot is starting to shift. A lot of the pain is, it's going to be interesting to see what unfolds, and I can't wait to share this call with her because it feels like
beautiful.
Related. So
well, she's very blessed to have you helping her. I mean, you're holding a bigger picture, and you're a powerful healer, so I really honor you for your role, and I hope she knows how blessed she is to have you.
Oh, and I don't do anything, so thank you. So, yeah, that would be scary if I had to do something.
Well, when you get out of the way, the healing energy comes through.
So I get to witness it, right? I don't want to take responsibility for that, right? I'm getting really good at getting out of the way.
Yeah, well, that's good.
I hope
that
was relevant for somebody. Yeah, thank you.
Good. Thank you, Jan. Barbara, you wanted to say something. Sorry,
I was just going to say the key is the key. Jan mentioned the key. You know that there was a key that she had been given this key to open the door, and the key is the key that unlocks the lock. So I'm just wanting to say that there's a recurring theme here with what you shared about the ley lines and what Leslie shared about the occiput. So it's part of that symbolic awakening.
I got to say, and the key is the presence. And I do cranial sacral therapy, so I'm working with the occiput.
Oh, my gosh, Jan. Beautiful.
And all of the meridian lines,
yes.
in the body, all of the connections.
Yes. And the key is the unconditional love that flows through.
And the surrender.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
Okay. There are a couple of hands raised, and before I get to that, there's just a couple of brief comments on the Q&A board. And Serena, hi Serena, says, thank you Brad and Barbara for all your loving support. It's really, beautiful and very much needed. And it's good to have you on the call, Serena. And Alana says, me too, so deeply touched by your message. However, all in capital letters of these calls, I needed so much love. We can really feel that, Alana. And then Kathy Stanley says, I've just published an article titled Pilgrimage, Earth Energies, and the Alchemy of Sacred Sites on my blog at sacredtravel.blog. That's sacredtravel.blog, including scholarly research on the subject and quotes from Leslie. And of course, Kathy, how exquisitely synchronistic that is.
Wow, that's very exciting, Kathy. Thank you for sharing that with us. Barbara, can you read the website again, please?
Yes. It's on her blog at Sacred. It's capital S. ACRED travel, capital TRAVEL .blog. That's all one word, sacredtravel.blog. So thank you so much, Kathy. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I can't wait to read it. Thank you so much.
I know, me too. That's amazing, Kathy.
I will share it.
Okay, great. And so we have one hand raised here, and that's Claudia. Claudia, you have the mic.
Hello, everyone. Hey, so good to hear everyone.
Hello.
Hi,
hello,
Claudia.
Hey, good to hear everyone. Thank you for sharing where you are and how you are seeing. I just wanted to share how I think we are all really in some ways bringing the feminine out and about in so many ways. I see this happening. I think I mentioned to Brad a while ago, I've been doing this work which was a work that I was just called into it, nothing that I would choose myself, but I think the universe chose me to work with 900 women with this incredible woman. Her name, people called her Mama Gina, and what she is doing is really dismantling the patriarchal culture and in each one of us that is part of this. And it's like extraordinary to see the work, you know, the connection that everything is taking place in the earth right now. I was thinking, Brad, and I saw that some of us were together, Linda and other people, when we were in Greece doing this in the ley lines there, like awakening the feminine in that land. And now here I am in New York City in the middle of the church, awakening pussies
like doing breath work that I would never dream of doing. But so that we are all, it's incredible. It's just like, yes, I think we agreed to keep this all inside the earth, but now it's no longer needed, and it's awakening in ways that it's extraordinary to see. And it's incredible. For me, it's been mind-blowing what I'm seeing, what I'm experiencing, and what I feel like it's bubbling up through the earth, through the eaters, through everywhere, this feminine power that it's beautiful and it's alive and juicy and filled with wisdom and with a desire to be balancing also the masculine and the feminine with this. This is the difference I feel in this moment that we are going through, is there is no space for shoving anybody else inside or shaming or doing all this that was so done in this whole system that we agreed to be part of. But there is all dismantling, and I'm feeling it. I don't know if you guys are, I hear that you are all feeling as well. And it's like in many different levels that this is happening. And I can see, like in our bodies, how friends and me included, how the things are bubbling up through our bodies, through our mental, through our emotional, spiritual bodies, all coming for us to claim that we are here alive, juicy, let's live.
Aho. Yes. Yes, we're all feeling it. I mean, most people that I talk to, we're all feeling this rise of the feminine energy. You know, it's really so much of what the work is about. And as we've talked about on several calls, I remember the time in the early 2000s when Leslie was really upset about the state of the world with the Iraq War and so forth. And she screamed at her guide. She was so angry. She said, "This is not okay. What is it going to take to change this world?" And her guides replied very quickly and simply, and they said, "A lot of enlightened women." So, you know, it doesn't mean that men don't need to do the work too. It's important that men do the work, of course. But I think what they were saying is, you know, women, let's say the feminine energy has been so suppressed for so long that it's time now that that feminine energy rise up to meet the masculine. And it's the feminine energy in women, and it's the feminine energy in men as well. So it's all of us that need to do this work.
Yes, yes. Very beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Claudia. Sorry, go ahead.
It's intense as well. It's all together. It's horrible and beautiful, like my friends in Brazil say. It's horrible and beautiful at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like a train wreck. You know, you don't want to look, but you kind of have to look. Terrible, terrible, but it's happening, right?
Yeah, and at the same time, like we are much more prepared to not be fooled and not be drowned any longer, you know. We are preparing ourselves for a long time to stay centered and just look with divine eyes to what's happening so we don't get pushed or pulled, because it breaks our heart. It's hard, but at the same time, it needs to happen somehow.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is happening.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And could we say we're more conscious now? We're more awake now?
Definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful, Claudia.
Thank you,
Claudia.
Many kisses and hugs to everyone.
Right back.
Beijos de braços.
Love you.
Okay.
Love you too.
So the next hand raised is Ruth. Ruth, you have
the
mic. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Ruth.
Yep, we can.
Oh, good. Hi. Hello, everybody. I just so wanted to say hello. Such an interesting time. I'm so deeply grateful to be part of this group. Just so much resonance here. And I'm just finding that I really resonate, Barbara, with what everybody's saying, but there's something about sort of maintaining a focus as we go through this journey. And it feels like there's a bit of responsibility about really managing my mind. It's and training it away from patterns of just being distracted into, sort of horror, and the chaos that's going on for me isn't helpful. It's really to really hold that truth that we are creating, and we are the creators with our voices and our minds and where we put our attention. And so I find myself on this path of, there's so much I don't know happening, and just to keep holding it gently, like, sort of like a bar of soap. If you squeeze it too tight, it goes shooting out. If you don't hold it tightly enough, it falls out of your hand. And anyways, I just wanted to say hello, and I'm so happy to be here with you. And I'm up in Southern Oregon right now, picking up a little trailer because allowing to be created this a women's retreat gathering this summer. And because it feels like it wants to happen. And it's just going with this soft allowing, and not no force, and effort feels different. It doesn't feel like it's coming from a different place. Certainly a lot of work, but it's coming from a different place than it was before, where there was some maybe more masculine part of myself that would create things. It's not that space anymore. So yes, things are happening. And I guess one of the things that feels super important to me that I just want to share is to just help remind people, with all of the chaos and really horrible things that are happening, to keep retraining your brain back into what we're creating and what we want, and being able to say, in that sort of firm, gentle, but absolutely resolute space, no, that's not me. No more of that. We're doing it this way instead. And so that's what I feel like I'm working with.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, and I want to comment on what you said. I think what you said is important about how you're manifesting in a different way now, and that the masculine manifests in a different way than the feminine. Leslie always used to talk about this. The yang energy manifests through action in the world and doing, and the yin manifestation comes in a more internal way. We vision. We draw things to us. It's like a magnetic energy where we actually receive the manifestation. Mm. It's a very different way of manifesting.
Mm.
Both work. Though there's nothing wrong with either one. It's just that they both have their place.
Mm.
And using both often is most effective.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for bringing that up. I think that's an important point.
Yes, I agree, Ruth, and very synchronistic as I, was in meditation last night and having that active voice talking and saying to that part, thank you for sharing, and you know, this is, we're not going here right now. So I think that it is truly the balance and taking responsibility, taking accountability for what moves through us. And so, you know, having this balance, you know, I agree, Brad, that it takes both the masculine and the feminine, the giving and the receiving, and we've been so skewed to one side of the polarity to come back into balance here to allow that flow, that movement of active versus receptive. So thank you. I think that was a really key piece, Ruth, that you just brought to our collective awareness. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are many others who are experiencing that as well.
The enormity of the I don't know is just mind-blowing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's never.
And to sit in that. To sit in
that in this.
Yes.
Quite so large before. Yeah. And be okay with it. So, that's just I don't know again.
Yes. And yes, ego loves
absolutely.
That part.
Yeah, it's funny. We talked about this on Friday night at our little gathering in London. We talked about doing a square on the fear of the unknown and the desire for the unknown, the fear of the known and the desire for the known. And I thought that would be a good one to do. Barbara, maybe you guys want to do that on your processing call.
I definitely will
this
put
month.
That on the list, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ruth.
Well, thank you all.
Yes. I love you. While Ruth is on the phone, I just want to say Ruth and I are co-leading the trip to South Africa in March next year, and there's still some spaces available, or a few spaces left, so if anybody feels called to join us, we'd love to have you. You can check it out on the website.
Beautiful. I'm sure it'll be amazing. So thank you again,
yes,
Ruth.
Yes, it will be.
And we have another hand raised, and that's Linda. Linda Peters, you have the mic.
Oh, thank you. I there have been so much on this call that has moved me so profoundly, so that I find myself almost wordless, which is a pretty rare situation for me. But I finally raised my hand because I wanted to respond to Claudia. She had me just feeling exuberant as she was talking. And I want to send love to you, Claudia, and to everyone who was on the Greece trip, everyone who's been on any trip. All of these visits to sacred places where you're not just taking your own consciousness, but you're sharing the devotion and the openness of a lot of other people who are the notion that we really have shared lives together so far back that we actually may have made a sacred agreement 10,000 years ago or so, and we're finding each other now and together in this enormous endeavor of just cracking open the heart of the world and bringing all human consciousness up with us. It just blows me away. I feel so humble and frightened, and at the same time just completely surrendered and trusting that whatever this is we're doing together, it is universally the will of whatever, however we conceive of the divine, of the ultimate. We're doing that work together. I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Oh. Beautiful, Linda. Wow. So well said. I can feel your heart cracking open as you speak. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, everyone in Core Life.
Thank you, Linda.
So much bigger than any one of us.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
we can
so much
all
love
feel into the collective heart of that.
I think I'm through for now.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Linda. And we have one more hand raised, and that is Denise. Denise, you have the mic.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Hey there. I don't know if this is exactly appropriate or not, but I just thought I would throw it out there that because of the nature of this call, which has, of course, been some remarkably beautiful and deep and, well, everybody knows how powerful it's been, is Barbara, when, and I don't even know if Barbara would be even prepared to do it or if it would be the right timing, but Barbara, you know, helped lead a ceremony for, as you know, Brad, for Leslie when the baton was being passed, and you were doing the whole thing in South Africa, and she did this remarkably, remarkably beautiful meditation that had, you know, was about, you know, the key, you know, was all about Leslie and the key, and I can't articulate it well enough, but it was just so remarkably beautiful, and it seems to be really perfectly timely here. And I can't remember if that meditation is actually anywhere that's accessible, Barbara, but if it's not, it would be so beautiful to be able to put it down now so that people could go and listen to it, because it was so multi-layered and deep and so about everything that, you know, I'm sure that everybody could really benefit from hearing it and being able to hear it over and over, as is the nature of these beautiful weather report calls. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. You know, I don't know how you would even feel about it, Brad and Barbara, but I just thought I would mention it. And I know it might, I can't remember exactly, because you just fall into the nature of it if it is too long or not. But, of course, people could stay with it or they could go if they needed to go or at any point in between it. But anyway, I thought I would throw that out. And sorry if it catches you off guard, either of you. But it's just so perfect here, it seems to me. It was just so beautiful. And I know that I didn't hear everybody sign in, but I know that there are some people on this call that did hear that. And anyway, I don't mean to ramble. I just don't necessarily have all the right words. But anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that out there and see what you all think.
Well, thank you, Denise. Thank you. And I did hear it. I was part of that. I did hear it the next day. It was actually the middle of the night, South Africa time, so I couldn't be there in person. But I know it was beautiful. So, Barbara, why don't you and I talk about that after the call, and we'll see what we can do.
That would be wonderful, Brad. And thank you for that, Denise. And, yes, I would love to talk to you more about that, Brad.
Yes, great. Well, thank you, Denise.
Sure.
Is there anything else you wanted to share, Denise? Because I can feel your heart. I feel your heart.
I know. I muted. I muted her. Sorry, Denise.
Oh, that's okay. No, I feel complete. I was just, you know, maybe hoping that it could even be today, because everything we've talked about is so close to what that meditation is as well. But of course, any time is good as well. So. Thank you. I'm complete, of course. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Denise. And
thank you.
I think that, Brad, you still have announcements and a closing to do here as well. So we can talk about that and hopefully, you know, figure something out in the near future.
Okay, great. So, yeah, I'm looking at the time, and we have run out of time for the day. So I want to thank everybody. Thank you all for being part of this energy field today and for showing up and doing this work with us and bringing love into the world. And a special thank you to you, Barbara, for helping make that possible. So just quickly, as we wrap up, before we say our final prayer, I just want to mention a few pieces of news about CoreLight. Barbara is going to be leading the Squares call for those enrolled in Spiritual Warrior or Enhanced Self-Discovery or graduates, and that's on June 23rd. And our next Spiritual Weather Report call is July 28th. These are all written on our website, our events page, if you need to refer to it. I'm sorry for the fact that, you know, we're meeting now in early June, and then we're going to meet in late July. But the way that my events in the U.S. fall and the holidays like 4th of July fall, it's not possible for us to do it any other weekend than July 28th. So I'm sorry it's a longer time in between, but because of those things, you know, we'll just we'll meet later in July. And the truth is, I hope I see you at the events, so we'll get to meet in between, hopefully, if you're in those cities. I will be in Marin County, California, and in Portland, Oregon, doing an event. Each one is a retreat called Alchemy of the Heart, Uniting the Divine Feminine and Masculine Within. Marin County, California is at the Institute of Noetic Sciences Earthrise Retreat Center on June 27th through 30th. And a similar weekend intensive is going to be happening in Portland at the Unity Church of Portland, July 11th through 14th. So I would really love to see you. There are spaces still available at each one. And if you're interested, you can contact our office. You can check out the information on our events page at corelight.org. Also, this is a new piece of information you haven't heard yet, and that is that we have fixed the dates for the Boulder, Colorado event, and it's called Living Joyfully in Turbulent Times, Embodying the New Paradigm of the Heart. And that's going to be Friday and Saturday, August 8th and 9th. Friday night is going to be a free evening, or by donation at least, and then the 9th will be an all-day intensive. So I'd love to see you in Colorado. If you're anywhere near Colorado, please come. I'd love to see you there. Let me look. There's other things to share with you here. There are likely to be events in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Reno, Nevada, sometime in September, October. We haven't fixed those dates yet. As well as another, there's going to be another Portland event sometime in September, October. The one in Portland will be called Alchemy of Awakening, Embodying a New Template of Divine Light. And I'll co-lead that with Lina Bernson and Catherine Witteman. And that'll be a small, intimate retreat that we'll do somewhere. And so you can look for the announcement of that. Also, we have set the dates for the all-student virtual conference. That's for anybody enrolled in Spiritual Warrior or Enhanced Self-Discovery or graduates. And that's October 18th through 20th. So anybody from anywhere in the world can participate in that because it's virtual. So again, the all-student conference is October 18th through 20th. You can hold the dates and we'll send out an announcement later. And a last event announcement is that I'll be in Albany, New York, October 26th through 27th. And so that's a weekend event, and you can look for an announcement coming out soon about that. And then lastly, just to wrap up, the website is coming. It was supposed to be at the end of May, and it's so close, but it's not ready. So big surprise. We're hoping that it gets launched in the next few weeks, It's very close, and I'm very excited. This has been a long time coming. If you've been around, you know we've been working on Core Light's new website for a long time, but it really is very close now, as well as my book, my new book that I've written called Living with Enlightenment, A Journey of Love. And it's really meant to be an honoring of Leslie about our 28 years together and the spiritual adventures that we shared, and about, you know, the cycle of that time together. That'll be available. The book will be available when the website launches. And the book will also be available at all the events that I lead. So I'm very excited about it, and I'm happy to celebrate it with you. So thank you. Barbara, are there any more announcements, anything that you need to share before we close the circle for today?
Yes, thank you, Brad. First of all, wonderful, and congratulations on the Almost website and the book. And
thank you.
That's so exciting. And there are going to be two squares calls between this Spiritual Weather Report call and the next Spiritual Weather Report call. So if you're feeling like that might be too long to wait, the squares call Brad mentioned earlier for June is the 23rd, and then the squares call for July is the 14th. So I just wanted to say that because I know it's kind of long between today and the 28th of July. So thank you, Brad.
Thank you,
Barbara. Thank you, everybody. Love to have you on the call.
Yeah, thank you so much. I should have mentioned that, and that slipped through the cracks. So thank you for picking that up. And those squares calls are very powerful. So, you know, if that's new to you, it's open to anybody in the Spiritual Warrior course. You can find out about that on our website. It's open to people in the Enhanced Self-Discovery course. You can find that on the website, too, as well as any graduates. And those, the squares, if you don't know, they're a form of mental-emotional processing, one of the most powerful methods that Leslie brought through and gave us as a gift in the Marriage of Spirit book. Very powerful way to process as a group. It's fun and powerful and amazing. And Barbara is a master of leading those group experiences. A really quick and powerful way to ascend in consciousness. So highly recommended. And thank you again, Barbara, for leading those calls. We're deeply grateful to you.
Thank you, Brad. My honor.
Okay, so let's close our circle today with our final prayer and visualization. I invite you now to please close your eyes and get comfortable and take some long, deep breaths and relax. Whether you're lying on the floor or sitting in a chair, just surrender. Breathe in this beautiful golden white light that is surrounding us on this call. All the Shakti, all the life force. Just breathe it in deep down into your belly. Long exhale, letting go of any tension that we might have stirred up by talking so much. Just really relaxing into this beautiful space of oneness, luminous, golden light. We call on the Great Spirit, and we call on all the guides, teachers, and beings who surround us in the highest support and love. We give great thanks for your support on this call, for the light that you share. And we give special thanks for this opportunity to be together, to share our love, to share this precious time, share our hearts, to share this moment when the world can be so challenging and the world can be so busy and we can face so many obstacles on the path that seem to block us. we're deeply grateful for these opportunities to come together when we can be reminded that all obstacles are actually gifts and opportunities to awaken and to discover, be reminded of who we truly are, which is the pure awareness, the essence, the pure light and love, the oneness that is our true being. And we're reminded that we are humans, excuse me, that we are we are spirit having a human experience in these beautiful bodies that Mother Earth gives us for a few short years that goes by in a blink. And so we just offer such gratitude, so much gratitude for this experience called life in a human body on this exquisitely beautiful planet, planet Earth. I'm so grateful to be here and to be part of this team, to be part of this collective, to wake up to the love and the light that we are, to serve Mother Earth, to serve the collective of humanity, to help usher in a new era of heart-centeredness and sustainability and care, sharing, in community. What a gift. What a gift that we can be incarnate at this time. So we ask, please, to Spirit, please hold our hands along the journey. Help us remember in every moment that this is so, that this is who we are, and that we are not these bodies. We are not these challenges. We are not these emotions passing through us. We are the pure awareness, the pure love. And this too shall pass. Deep, deep bow of gratitude to Spirit and to Mother Earth and to each of us on this call. We all bow to each other. And let's end by visualizing a circle. We're all holding hands all around the world, wherever you are in the world. See yourself holding hands with everybody in this circle. Beautiful souls. We've probably all shared lifetimes together physically in a family or a tribe or whatever, a culture. And so at some level we know each other. And let's visualize putting our hearts out into the center of the circle, merging our hearts as the one heart that we truly are and the one mind. And now visualize the earth in the center of our circle, merged with our heart. Just put the earth there with all the issues that are going on, all the challenges on Mother Earth right now. Just put her right there in our field of love and feel yourself pouring your love into earth and into humanity. Surrounding her with our field, our beautiful field that we've been creating today, that we hold today, field of love and light and blessings. Blessings to all life, all sentient life on this planet. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Aho. So I love you, and I really look forward to our next time together in July and to seeing some of you in person soon. And if you want to stay in meditation for just a little bit longer, I'll be with you, and I know Leslie will be with you too. And blessings, everyone. Bye for now.